Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima, and this will be the episode 47. We are tackling this problem about the intervention of God. For some people, it's an easy thing that God intervenes, but for intellectuals, for theologians and philosophers and scientists, it's kind of difficult to believe that a God intervenes in his own, in the world that he has created, and he has created it with certain laws and rules and regulations, and it should function, and it does function according to those laws. So there is no reason for God's intervention. But that's the point. We see in the Bible some texts that we already read. I continue to read others to prove that this intervention is there. The Bible is full of God's interventions. The Bible is a meeting, is an encounter of God, the way he is, with man, the way he is the encounter between a sinful man and holy God. The Bible is that encounter. So some people also get scandalized by certain things that they see in the Bible. But that's human beings. That's that's the way human beings are. And we see the action of God that is always in keeping with his creation, the creation that he did, and in conserving, in preserving that creation. So to say, it's like you have a car that it was created, but then that car needs to be serviced. Needs to be serviced from time to time. And so that's the conservation with God, the Creator, and the one that does the service for this planet, for the whole universe. And but that's within the nature, that's contemplated, so to say. But what we are talking about is actions that are not, that are interventions, actions that are interventions of God, direct or indirect. And then, so this Joel, the one of the texts, says, then the Lord will be zealous for his and will have pity on his people, will have pity on his people. So compassion. God is full of compassion. God is merciful. And so all these characteristics or talents of God, they are prompts to action, because just feeling compassion and doing nothing is not a good thing. What is the compassion for if it doesn't move you? Commotion, we say in Latin language, is commotion, so it moves you. Emotion, the word emotion, it comes from Latin, and it in itself is already something that moves you to do something. So feelings lead to actions, and thoughts lead to actions. Feelings and thoughts that don't lead to actions, they are worth nothing. They are worth nothing. And that is with God, not entirely with us. We sometimes have very good intentions, but then we never put them in practice. Very good thoughts, but we never put them in practice. But that's not so with God. Every good thought, that every good feeling that God has, it turns into action. God became man. The Word became a human being, so it was incarnated. That's the way God is. The book of Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is God of justice, a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him." He's a God of justice. Justice in practice, not just justice in theory. Galatians says, "Who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father." Genesis, we see even God doing something very concrete, like garments made of skin for Adam and Eve when they acknowledged that they were naked. The book of the Acts, we see the book of the Acts speaks of prisons that get opened by God. Once it was Peter that was inside, and the prison opened up. And the other was Paul. So both experienced this action of God, that the word of God cannot be put into prison. And the prison was opened so that the word of God was free to be preached to the world. The book of Micah says, "Indeed, I brought you from the land of Egypt and ransomed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." So those are the actions of God, the big action, the biggest intervention of God in the Old Testament is taking the Jews out of Egypt. By this, he doesn't do that so directly. The plagues are direct action. The opening of the Red Sea is direct action. But then there are also indirect actions done by means of his prophet Moses. So in the New Testament, we have healing practiced by Jesus. And when Jesus does a miracle, he asks the person interested if he has faith, if he believes that he can do it. And the person says yes, or sometimes says yes, but increase my faith. But the faith needs to be there for a miracle to be carried out. And we see that in Nazareth, Jesus did not find that faith in the ones in his own village. And so the gospel says that there he didn't do any miracles because there was no faith. So faith it works wonders. Faith moves mountains, Jesus says in the gospel. So somehow fate acts on the laws of nature, and thus things that are not contemplated in nature. That brings me to the thought of the placebo effect. You know, when the medicine is being tested, usually a placebo is given, like they say, is being tested in a group of 10 or 20 people, and 10 people are given the right medicine, the medicine that has been tested to see what's the outcome. But other 10 people are giving a placebo, that is a pill that it looks like the same as the other, but there's nothing. It's just probably wheat flour. So, and then we know that we know the validity of that medicine, because sometimes the placebo accomplishes the same results, or sometimes the placebo accomplishes results and the other doesn't accomplish them. So it is maybe science, they don't really care about fate, but they might look at it as a placebo effect. Well, placebo, it's okay. It's a good definition of fate. It's something that you believe that it will happen, and indeed it happens. And many times Jesus says, your fate has cured you. So it's not really just me, it's your fate. It's your fate in me that has cured you. But still, you are part of it. Your fate is part of it. And without your faith, then maybe this wouldn't happen. So faith is an action on nature, and it doesn't respect the actions. It doesn't respect the laws of nature. It moves mountains. And there is people that with their minds, they can move objects. And this is true. And so it means that fate is powerful. And it's not explainable by laws of nature. It's because, and it many times goes against the laws of nature. It makes things happen in a way that the laws of nature don't contemplate. And so there is the fate, it's already an intervention somehow. It's an intervention of God in nature, in things, by means of our fate, but is the power of God that accomplishes things. It's just, it needs the means of our faith to accomplish them, but it's important that it's all the power of God that accomplishes things. And also the difference between revelation and religion, it's the Old Testament is a religion, so to say, but the New Testament is a revelation. And ours is a revelation because it's God, gives an account of himself. It's God that shows himself in Jesus. So it's, if the religion is a movement from us to God, the revelation is a movement from God to us. So the revelation itself is already an intervention. And our religion is a revelation because it's God, the Word of God that becomes a human being, is the second person of the Holy Trinity that incarnates in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's an intervention. That's a direct, full intervention of God in human history, and that's Revelation. So we can look at Revelation. We can look at Revelation as an intervention of God, and indeed, it is. So, how can we tackle then this revelation? How can we go about it? Of course, I meant to keep this idea that God intervenes, but is not an interventionist. So it looks like, and you'll see what the things that I'm going to tell you also, it's we cannot go further than this. We have to keep both things in mind. He intervenes and he does not intervene. So what do I mean by this? He sustained the universe, that's conservation. He created the universe, that's creation, and that was an intervention, that was an action. But then he is inside the universe, but also outside. So, as God being inside the universe, he somehow does not intervene. But because he is also outside the universe, he intervenes. But let us have a pause here and continue to try to explain this the way God intervenes in the world. So as we were saying, God is immanent and transcendent. So is both things. And so, in a way, based on this, I can say he intervenes and he does not intervene. What do I mean by this? Is according to being in immanent, he should not intervene because he created the nature, he created the universe with its rules, and he should not break those rules. And there is no reason to break those rules. But because he is immanent, he created and he sustains, like he services the creation. But then he's also transcendent. He's also transcendent. And because he's transcendent, he can act upon creation from outside somehow, and that would be an intervention. But he intervenes, but he's not an interventionist. What do I mean by this? Is that he doesn't intervene anytime we want him to intervene. It's the time is his, and it's up to him to decide to intervene or not to intervene. It's not that we say a word of abracadabra and God, like the Aladdin lamp, God and comes and does our wishes. That's not our God. We submit to his will. He doesn't submit to our will. So he does not intervene anytime we want him to intervene. So just to give you an example, it is in a book, this fact, there was in Auschwitz, in this concentration camp, there people was going to be killed, and somebody asked, a voice was heard, "Where is God that allows this to happen?" And some other voice answered, "God is one of those that is going to be shot. God is one of those that is going to be shot." So there you are. So God intervenes in a mysterious way. It's up to him to intervene, and the way and the intervention, because he's both things, is immanent and transcendent. So, according to the Christian belief, God sometimes does things differently. He sometimes deviates from the usual way in which he treats and the stuff that he has made. Examples would be the parting of the Red Sea, well, goes against the laws of nature, many miracles of Jesus, the turning water into wine goes against the laws of nature. But God regularly causes events in the world. Divine action of this sort is action beyond creation and conservation. So creation and conservation is what attains God being immanent to his creation. But he could think of it as a special divine action. Many theologians, curiously enough, have thought there is a serious problem with this. But although it somehow looks like it's contradictory, it is not contradictory to God. It's difficult to understand for our mind to understand. God creates the laws of nature, but he's not bound by them. He is his creator. You know, the laws of nature are his creatures, and God is never bound by creatures. So it's illogical to us, but it's not illogical to him. And I think I can understand, and you too can understand, that God creates the creature and he doesn't submit to the creature. The laws of nature are for us, not for him. He doesn't abide by the laws of nature. We abide by the laws of nature, but sometimes even us, we don't abide by the laws of nature, and we ruin nature. We do things wrong, and many of these interventions of God is for our salvation, is for the salvation of his creation. So there you are. You have a reason for intervening, because sometimes creation is not going according to plan. As a matter of fact, because human beings are free, they can deviate from God's plan. And indeed, that's what they did right from the beginning. And God came up with a plan B, which was a big, big, big intervention that was sending his son. So I think it's understandable that God is both things, creates, sustains, and conserves his creation. But on the other way, he also intervenes when he sees it fit, when he sees that there is a need for intervention. So to sometimes even takes advantage God takes advantage of our virtues, of our talents, but sometimes takes advantage of our limitations and our bad things, because he writes straight in crooked lines. Our lines are crooked, but God manages, takes good out of evil, something that only he can do. He takes good out of evil. Out of evil, we cannot take good. We just make it worse. But God engineers things so that he uses that evil, turns it into good. Is somehow the felix culpa of St. Augustine. Felix culpa of St. Augustine. God always has a plan B when plan A fails. And plan A fails because of our freedom. Many times we make it fail, but God comes up with a plan B. And of course, if plan A would be somehow concerned with the immanence of God, with the creation and the sustaining of creation, well, plan B is when something goes wrong, and so he has to intervene so that the world is also oriented towards our salvation. Now, one thing that we must say is that it's difficult to understand God's intervention, or it is more difficult to understand it, in the old physics, the Newtonian physics. The Newtonian picture, properly so-called, this picture represents the world, or at any rate the material universe, as a vast machine evolving or operating according to fixed laws, the laws of classic physics. Theologically, the idea is that the world is a great divine mechanical artifact that runs accordingly to the fixed laws of classic science, the laws prescribed for it by God. But that's the old understanding of the world. But the new understanding of the world that comes from the quantum physics and quantum mechanics, it's quite different. How does quantum mechanics stand with respect to the question of special divine action in the world? Quantum mechanics is characterized by several substantial departures from classic physics. Of these, only indeterminism is relevant to our concern. So the difference between the old physics, the Newtonian physics, and the new physics, the quantum physics, is that the old physics are deterministic. They are deterministic. There is a determination, there is a destination, there is a predestination, so to say. Everything always works the same way. The world is like a Swiss clock. A Swiss clock that always runs the same way. But that's the understanding of the Newtonian physics. But the quantum mechanics and quantum physics, the world is not that exact. There is casual, there is casuality, that things just might happen and they were not foreseen. And the world that we live in, as conceptualized by the new physics, is a world very indeterminate, very uncertain. Certainly there are probabilities. So these laws of nature, they are observed in the universe in a statistic way. Not always, not as 100% as it was in the Newtonian physics. All 100% always happens. Now is in a statistic way, so most probably 50%, there is a 50% possibility that it happens this way, but there is also another percentage of possibilities that it won't happen that way. This is the way we understand the physics nowadays. So this Wesley Wildman came up with this theory of God sustaining nature and its law-like regularities with one hand, while miraculously intervening, abrogating or ignoring those regularities with the other hand. This may seem dangerously close to outright contradiction. Yeah, it looks like it is a contradiction, but there is no contradiction in God. He knows why he does it. He knows why he does it. And of course, it's always for our salvation that he does it. So it looks like it is a contradiction for our minds, but there is a reason for doing so. There is a reason for doing so, and that God does it according to that reason. So there could be arbitrariness and inconsistency only if God had no special reason for acting contrary to the usual regularities. So if there was no special reason, then there could be an inconsistency. But if there are a special reason, let us look at the opening of the Red Sea as an example. Well, usually the Red Sea doesn't open and makes a dry way on between that. But there is a reason, and God is not going to intervene any time just for the fun of it, to open the Red Sea so that anybody can cross. No, there is an important reason, is that the Egyptian army is behind the Jews, and in front of the Jews is the Red Sea, and they are going to be all killed. So God intervenes to save his people. There is a big reason. You know, according to the laws of nature brought the people in front of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army on their back. Now that's following the normal process, of the laws of nature, that the Jews got out of Egypt, the Egyptians, they lost cheap labor, and they wanted again the cheap labor, so let us go and bring them back. That's perfectly normal, according to the way human beings behave. And the Egyptians had the upper hand, and they were going to get the Jews. But then God intervenes, opens the Red Sea, and whilst the Jews escape to the other side, the Egyptians, trying to persecute them, they got up to the midst of the Red Sea, and when the Red Sea came back to its place, they were all killed. So that was a direct intervention, against the laws of nature, but there was a purpose for it. There was a purpose for it. And the purpose is God's salvation. And when there is a purpose, somebody out of his faith can be cured out of cancer, can be cured out of cancer. And it goes against the laws of nature. Cancer should prevail, but not always prevails. Sometimes the faith of people prevails. So, and the new physics are accommodate this idea, because the new physics is that the things don't happen 100% always the same time. There is a percentage. There is already an opening for the miracle, so to say. Even this principle of Heisenberg, the principle of uncertainty, that the observer changes the behavior of subatomic particles. That's kind of a miracle. I am observing subatomic particles, and because I'm observing them, they change behavior. So there you are. In the new physics, there is room for miracles. There is room for miracles. And they do happen. And miracles, of course, is God's intervention somehow against the laws of nature. But in times, the laws of nature continue. He doesn't intervene against the laws of nature for good, so that he changes the laws. No, the laws continue. Just for that moment, they are not. Just for that moment, he intervenes in the laws of nature, and the things don't happen the way they usually happen. But also, God gave us that power when he said, "The faith moves mountains." We too can say to this mountain, "Go," and go to another place if we have faith, and it will happen. So we can, by the power of God, we can intervene in nature too.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.